This installation service this morning, I have chosen 2 Timothy 4, the verses 1 to 5, as the text. So we continue our reading into 2 Timothy 4. And there the Apostle Paul continues, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded and your suffering to the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry thus far. After the proclamation of the gospel, we'll sing together from hymn 15, the stanzas 2 and 3. Beloved congregation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, this last week was filled with graduations. I saw some of you at kindergarten, elementary, and high school grads. As a community, we come together in great numbers in order to celebrate the achievements of our children as well as our grandchildren. Yes, and all of these graduations have a common element in them as well, if you listen carefully. Namely, they all contain marching orders of one kind or another. Kindergarten children are told to prepare for life in elementary school. Elementary school children and graduates are told to prepare for life in high school. And high school graduates are told in turn to prepare for life in college or university or the workforce. In short, there is no shortage of advice dispensed on graduation days on how students and graduates should tackle the future. Well, let me tell you that graduations are not the only place where you hear marching orders. You can also hear them in the letters of the Apostle Paul, and in particular, you come across them in his letters to Timothy. Both letters are filled with instructions, orders, advice on how Timothy, Paul's young protege, spiritual son, and student is to engage in the work of gospel ministry. In them, Paul gives Timothy his marching orders. But you can say, not just him. You can hear that here the Apostle Paul gives marching orders to all the ministers of the gospel, both then as well as now. And this morning, in this special service of installation for your new pastor, Ben Scoof, we shall hear this again. And so I preach to you on the following theme, Apostolic Marching Orders for Pastor Ben. And it goes like this. First of all, you need to heed the apostolic charge, adopt the apostolic method, embrace the apostolic warning, and remember the apostolic encouragement. Last week, at a graduation, somehow my name came up and they said somehow that I always have 3 points and they always rhyme. Well, I'm proving them wrong this morning by having 4 points and they don't rhyme. So apostolic marching orders for Pastor Ben. Heed the apostolic charge, adopt the apostolic method, embrace the apostolic warning, and remember the apostolic encouragement. Well, beloved, as you look at this text together this morning, you can see these are famous words. I'm sure that you've heard them before. But just because they happen to be famous and well known doesn't mean that they're also well understood. For example, I might ask you this morning, in these 5 verses of 2 Timothy 4, what is now the main thought, the main command, the dominating expression? Well, when all is said and done, the main charge is to be found in those 3 words, preach the word. More than anything else, This is what Paul is concerned about. Paul wants Timothy to mature, to take up his office, and to preach the Word of God. He wants him to concentrate on the Word. So this is not about honing your golf skills or your pickleball abilities or your hiking pursuits. No, preaching the Word takes precedence over everything else. It needs to be so in Timothy's ministry, and I dare say it needs to be so in Pastor Ben's ministry among you as well. Well, what exactly is that? What is this preaching of the Word? Well, let's consider, first of all, that word preach. We hear it often, but maybe you don't realize the original word here is the word herald. In the ancient world, a king would often issue commands to his people, to his subjects. And how did he do that? Did he somehow get out the word? Did he pick up the telephone? Did he send out a text message? Did he use Facebook or Twitter or church social? No, he had none of those modern means at his disposal. Instead, he made use of certain men who were called heralds. And they had to travel around the kingdom. And in all of the town squares and public spaces, they had to make very clear what the will of the king of the land was all about. And by the way, they had to take this responsibility very seriously. They had to make sure that they conveyed the king's will accurately, clearly, carefully. And if they did not, they would be in danger of losing their heads. The herald, you see, is none other than the mouthpiece of the king. And now the same applies to Timothy and to, you can say, Pastor Ben, and to all the ministers of the gospel. It's not their task to entertain their audiences and to tell nice stories, funny stories, or personal stories. I don't say you can't have any illustrations, but they shouldn't be the dominant thing. Because the dominant thing is to make sure that the voice of the king is heard loud and clear. But then notice something else as well. The second important word here is word. Timothy is to preach, herald the word. And the original word for word here is logos, and it's a reminder that this is not just any old word. No, this is actually the word of the great Logos, Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. Timothy is to preach the word of God. And if you think of it, that's really something. To preach or to herald the word of the king is a really important responsibility. But, you know, to proclaim and to preach the word of the great King of heaven and earth is something else entirely. It's beyond privilege, beyond description. It's awesome in every respect. But think about it. What is this word that we're speaking about? If you think about it, it's really many, many things. It's the word of truth. It's the word of life. It's the word of wisdom, of forgiveness, of power, of glory, of righteousness. And ultimately, of course, it's the word of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, and so we can say so many more things about this glorious Word. It's inspired by the Spirit. It's infallible in all of its parts. It's without error in what it reveals. It has been given to us, as the Belgic Confession says so beautifully, for the regulation, confirmation, and foundation of our faith. Long ago, King David devoted his longest psalm to the beauty, the witness, and the power of this word. And what a word it is. What a word, actually beyond all compare. Sorry, Plato, Socrates, Augustine, Calvin, Luther, Kant, Locke, Schleiermacher, Confucius, Wittgenstein, Kierkegaard, and all of your famous words are of no comparison to this word. How blessed Timothy is to be able to bring this word of the greatest king. And how blessed you are, Pastor Ben, to be able to preach this word of God here in this congregation of Chilliwack Sunday after Sunday. And congregation, receive your new herald and preacher with joy. And make sure you support him with your prayers. Good preaching doesn't happen in a vacuum. It needs the diligent prayers of God's people to make it flourish and blossom. So that's a little bit about the apostolic charge. Then what about the apostolic method? You notice, after saying preach the word, Timothy adds, or Paul adds something. He says, be ready in season or out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That's the ESV. Now that may not be always the clearest language. The NIV may be a little bit clearer when it translates, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience, careful instruction. And even clearer may be the New Living Translation, which reads, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. What you can sense in all of those words of the Apostle Paul here in verse 3 is that he's now talking to Timothy about something a bit different. He's talking to him about method. In other words, how is he supposed to handle this precious, priceless Word of God? Now, four things come to mind if you look at it closely. First of all, is to preach this Word no matter what the circumstances may be. We commonly say there's a time and season for everything. For example, there is a time to be quiet and there is a time to speak, says Ecclesiastes 3. But, you know, when it comes to this word, there is never a time to be quiet. It always needs to be heard. It always needs to go out, no matter what. And so Timothy, as well as Pastor Ben and all who like him, bring this word, are never allowed to put this word on a shelf and forget about it. It's always to be before them. And they are always to be speaking it. And if you ask, how are they supposed to do that? Well, notice they're to preach this word with passion. Three active verbs are mentioned in verse 3, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And if you whittle it down, it's all about exposing error, confronting sin, and urging God's people onward and upward. These are the words that get people thinking, confessing, obeying, and rejoicing. In short, this word is a living word. It throbs with life and energy and passion. Of course, I know that pastors are different. We don't all have the same personality. Some are quiet, others are loud, some are shy, others are bold, some are extroverts, others are introverts. But no matter what you are by nature, to preach this word does require some fire in your belly. You know, it's always been beyond me how a man can preach about the glorious promises of God, the sublime miracles of Jesus Christ, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in a very calm, undisturbed, quiet kind of matter. Preaching cause for passion. Timothy may be a young man, even a shy man, but he's to rise above his natural disposition and preach this word with power and conviction. And the same goes for all preachers today. And if we are to preach this word, no matter when or where and with passion, notice this message that Paul is talking about also has a third element in it, good content. The ESV refers to this using the word teaching. Better is the NIV, which translates careful instruction. And what this means is that good preaching is more than fireworks. It's also a matter of substance, doctrine, content. What kind of content? Well, the kind that explains the word, the kind that opens up its truths, the kind that applies them to the hearts and lives of God's people. Good preaching needs to bring the gems of God's truth into the light, where they will shine and glitter. You might say, in some ways, preaching is like mining. Not all nuggets of gold are found on the surface. Often you have to dig down, and sometimes you have to dig down deep, and it causes a lot of strain and a lot of sweat. And so the diligent preacher also takes the word, and he digs in it, and he brings its treasures to the surface for all to see and to hear. You see, Timothy needs to be a good digger. Pastor Ben needs to be a good digger as well. Not in his garden necessarily, but certainly in the word. And that brings us to the fourth thing, which is when it comes to the apostolic method, and that is patience. Patience. You know, it would be nice if everyone in the pew instantly heard everything the preacher said and said in his heart, yes and amen. But you know, that's not always the case. God has all kinds of customers. Some are quick, some are slow, some are bright, some are not so much so. Some are diligent, some are lazy. And as a preacher, you may dream about having the perfect congregation, but you have to work with what God gives you. And that means you have to work with all kinds of sheep. And that always requires a lot of patience, a lot of care, a lot of understanding. As a pastor, you need to work with all of them. Love all of them. Be there for all of them. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kind of people that he had to work with and how he handled them all. He had so much patience for the weak and the vulnerable, the lame and the poor and the little people of the land. And as for the proud and the arrogant and the know-it-alls, well, you know, that's a different story, right? But for all those who look to him in faith, he had an open heart. And so, beloved, we need to learn from the apostolic method about determination, passion, teaching, patience. And that brings us to the apostolic warning, number 3. If preaching is a great privilege, it's also a great privilege that attracts a lot of abuse and opposition. Paul goes on to tell Timothy what to expect. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away into myths. You might say Paul here is looking into the future, and he is preparing Timothy for what's coming down the road. His spiritual son may be armed with the living word, but that doesn't guarantee instant success. You know, in part, no doubt, Paul is reflecting on what's always happened to him. Here he goes throughout Asia Minor, bringing the Word of God. And so often when you read about this, for example, in the book of Acts, you notice the Word goes out and up springs the opposition. The Judaizers, the Gnostics, the Greeks, no matter what. Some people are just not interested in sound teaching. They want speculative teaching. They love nothing more than, for example, debating Jewish myths or exploring ancient genealogies. Some people only like preachers who tell them how nice, how smart, how attractive they are, how great. Others want preachers to tell them how to remain healthier, how to become wealthy. Success. Cater to people's egos. Know what they want and craft your message accordingly. And then, beloved, there are those who ignore the core teachings of the Word and like nothing better than to speculate about angels and demons and end times and antichrists. And you can add to the list. You see, the danger for a preacher of getting sidetracked is so great. It was real in the ancient world. Think of Paul and in Athens, for example. And think of his audience. It says in Acts 17:21, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. They always wanted to hear something new, something different, something weird, something strange, something that would tickle their itching ears. But Timothy's being warned here. Bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And forget about all the speculative stuff. Forget about the human agendas. Be mindful of God's agenda. And so the warning goes out. The warning goes out to Timothy. The warning goes out to your new pastor. Be on your guard. Resist the pressure to be novel or cute or amusing. Bring the word. You know, in my years of ministry, people would sometimes give me a kind of shopping list of what they wanted to hear preached about. And some of those suggestions were good, and some of them I took to heart. But we also had people in the churches who constantly wanted to hear the same thing. And for a time, all they wanted the minister to do was preach about covenant or church. Now, I don't deny the importance of covenant and church. But to hear that every Sunday, twice, over and over and over again, that's an abuse. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, not fixate on simply one or two points of doctrine. All that God has revealed, that's to be your diet. That should be what your pastor brings to you Sunday after Sunday. He's not here to preach about politics. He's not here to preach about hot-button social issues. He's to stick to the Word of the living God. To preach it. Or if you will, you shouldn't be a thermometer always going up and down. You should be a thermostat. And so that brings us finally to the apostolic encouragement. Of course, this kind of preaching isn't easy. It isn't always popular. And Paul knows this. And that's why he adds, at the end, a couple of words of encouragement. Look at verse 5. As for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded, and your suffering to the work of an evangelist fulfill your ministry. We can say many things about these words, but notice Paul is telling Timothy, you keep a clear mind, my son, and you be prepared to suffer, and you be diligent in the exercise of your office. And of course, that's easier said than done, but it can be done. It's possible to keep your bearings, take your lumps, and persevere in your work. And how is it possible? Well, the answer is to be found at the very beginning of our text, verse 1. There Paul reminds Timothy who he is ultimately working for and where he is ultimately headed. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. First, the apostle reminds Timothy who he's working for, and that's God, that's Jesus Christ. And that's important. I'm not sure how many members you have here in the Church of Chilliwack. The latest yearbook says 297. But does that mean that when he wakes up tomorrow morning, Pastor Ben will suddenly realize that he now has 297 new bosses? No. He doesn't have 297 bosses. There are not 300 people here who can tell him what to do. In reality, he has only one boss, the triune God. It is God in Christ Jesus who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, notice verse 1, charge him. He doesn't get the charge from the congregation. He gets the charge from the Almighty. And sanity in ministry comes about by reminding yourself that ultimately, when all is said and done, you only have one boss, one person who you're responsible to and need to answer to. And that applies to Timothy, and it also applies to your new pastor. But still, that reminder is not the only encouragement here. There is another. And notice it's found in those words about judging, appearing, and kingdom. And that's Paul's way of telling Timothy, you know, Timothy, realize this is no minor god, no insignificant little deity that you're serving. Now, this is the God who is beyond compare. He's the ultimate judge determining the fate of the living and the dead. He is the glorious Lord who will one day appear in power and glory with angels and saints accompanying him and trumpets announcing him. And he's the ruling God who will one day come to perfect his kingdom and to blaze forth his might and glory everywhere. Pastor Ben, just like Timothy, you not only have one boss, you have the best boss. Nothing compares to serving this great and gracious God. And may this God bless you in your ministry here in Chilliwack. And may this congregation be blessed through you and by you. And indeed, if we all remember these apostolic marching orders, we will all be blessed. Amen.